Stand with me tonight to Paul's letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And I read from verse 6. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And my subject tonight is the gospel unto Abraham. The gospel unto Abraham. This is a short section. It's easy to run quickly through it. But in a condensed way, you have many, many chapters of the book of Genesis covered here. And if you want a precise division, Genesis chapter 12 up to Genesis 22. So all these chapters are just covered in these four verses here. But just few words of reminder before we dive into an explanation of the gospel unto Abraham. You remember Paul was reasoning with the Galatians. And in chapter 3, the first five verses, he asks six questions. We call them rhetorical questions. And in those questions, the main subject, the main topic there, is about the Holy Spirit. Really, how, when somebody, a sinner or a believer, receives the Holy Spirit? When does it happen? What is the channel by which a believer receives the Holy Spirit? And how do we walk later after receiving the Holy Spirit? Should we walk by grace? Should we walk by the flesh? Or should we walk by the Spirit? Definitely, everything from beginning, from start to the end, is by the Holy Spirit. So that's why we read in Romans chapter 8 that a person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit doesn't belong to Christ at all. But every Christian who have repented and trusted in the mighty work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary has the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. That's the key verse, really, about the Holy Spirit and its reception. So then when somebody is saved, he doesn't just stop there all the way through, until when he gets to the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires or the works of the flesh, all the way through. So we depend entirely upon the Holy Spirit. So that is the argument, the first argument to the Galatians and to you and me is about the Spirit. Some people think it is a second blessing. No. There is no such thing. The Holy Spirit is received immediately at conversion. Immediately, not later. But now there is only one baptism, but many, many feelings of the Holy Spirit. And this is what you and me, we should strive for and pursue every day in our Christian life. Now, in the four verses I have just read, Paul now is putting before us a second argument. And here, allow me please to call it the scriptural evidence. The Spirit is at work, but how do we know? Should we have dreams? Should we have visions? No, nothing as such. There is the scriptural evidence. And in that scriptural evidence, it is well organized. Really, I'm always astonished about the organization of every book of the Bible. You hear some preachers, I often said this, they say, oh, there is no clear thread. No, that is an insult to the doctrine of inspiration. Well organized. It is systematically put before us. He gives also a quotation of six Old Testament, it's really a catalog of quotations as you go through the rest of this chapter, all really from the book of Genesis, just to give the evidence of the conversion and the salvation of the Galatians. In doing so, I want to draw your attention. In giving that a scriptural evidence, Paul is implying that the salvation of the Galatians, like the salvation of every true believer, is the same salvation like that of Abraham. Please, if you have missed that, oh, you missed a lot. This is why, you know, the dispensationalists, I don't want really to speak about them in this Bible study. Dispensationalism is completely wrong. For the seven dispensations they speak about, in each dispensation is like the salvation is given in a different way. But you heard what I said? In this scriptural evidence, oh, my dear friends, the salvation of Abraham is exactly the same salvation you and me have been given by the same God, through the same channel, and by the same Lord Jesus Christ, from Old Testament to New Testament. Now, who are the children of Abraham? Is everyone a child of Abraham? You hear religion, the so-called monotheistic religions. They all say we are children of Abraham. And this is what I want to explain really tonight in speaking about the gospel unto Abraham. My dear friends, not all are the children of Abraham. Not all are the children of God. Not all are in the church of Jesus Christ. And this section also about these four verses here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9, this is really the calling of the church. How is the church called? What is the mission of the church? All these things are given to us in this section. I have four steps, a very short message, if I may call it that way. But the first one, we want to look at Abraham, the faithful, because that is repeated twice in this section. Look at it in verse 6. And we are told in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God. That's underlined that. Then in verse 9, you see it. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Or if you prefer, the believing Abraham, the man of faith Abraham. So twice we see here that Abraham is a man of faith. He is saved like us. And we could put it the other way. We are saved like him. Equally saved like Abraham. So the point here where I want to draw your attention, my dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit indwelt Abraham. Old Testament, New Testament, nobody saved without the Holy Spirit. Nobody saved without repentance and faith. This is the message throughout the Bible. It's not a New Testamentish idea. It was there already, the prophets, right back from the first book of the Bible, people are called to repent and to trust on the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary is the meeting point. The cross of Calvary is the common denominator for believers in the Old Testament, for believers in the New Testament. Oh, my dear friends, look at Paul. He is arguing with the Judaizers. And you remember the Judaizers are the legalists who think you need something else except the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. So he's reasoning with the Galatians also. And through the mighty power of inspiration, Paul could have taken many golden examples, golden good examples. But he picked here the Judaizers' best, their champion. And you know who is their champion? Their champion is Father Abraham, as he is called in the scriptures. And he chooses Father Abraham against them, against the Judaizers. That was their example. That was their champion. But Paul says, no, look at what God has done with Father Abraham. You claim that he is your father. He is not at all your father. And I'm anticipating. I'm sure you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Mark chapter 3, John chapter 8. He said to the Jews, the Pharisees there, you claim that Abraham is your father. No, 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 he's not your father. If it was just about children of Abraham, God could raise from these stones. You see the mighty power of God again? He could raise from just stones children of Abraham. But in John chapter 8, he said to them, Abraham is not your father. Your father really is the devil. That's what he told them. And I'm sure he did it in the kindest way, but to make them to think, oh, this is what is happening here. And Father Abraham, you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, how the Lord called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. Remember, Abraham was an idolater. He was an idolater. That's why there must be a transformation. There must be a conversion in a person. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. What is conversion? The Thessalonians were serving idols, but now they have turned away from idols to serve the true and living God. That is the transformation. And God called Abraham from his idolatry and brought him to faith, leaving Ur of the Chaldees to a foreign land. God didn't give him a map. He didn't know where he was going, but Abraham believed in God. Yes, he had to travel. He left his country. He pitched his tent as a nomad. Remember, we are nomads, actually. It is the pilgrim concept for every believer. And Abraham pitched his tent. But here is the lesson. The roots of his soul were deep down in eternity. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, 11, and so on. It's about the faith of Abraham. Oh, my dear friends, God said to Abraham that he's going to give him a son. We read it in Romans chapter 4. Abraham was in an age when, humanly speaking, it was just impossible. Impossible for anyone to have a child. He passed the age of having any. But miraculously, God gave him that child. But remember, Abraham believed in God prior to his circumcision. Abraham believed in God, and 14 years later he was circumcised. Was he then, did he become then a believer because he was circumcised? Not at all, not at all. And Abraham believed in God before even the Jews existed as a nation. And Abraham believed in God 430 years before the Mosaic Law. Oh, this is astonishing. How did he believe in God? It means God has worked in his life to bring him to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to understand something. More than just Abraham believing that God is going to give him a son. Oh, this is good news. I hope when I read again and studied these things, it makes me to be confident that our salvation was not a plan B. It has always been in God's mind, my dear friends. More than believing that God will give him an heir, a son, Abraham believed that God is going to send his son. You see the difference? He believed that God is going to send his son. And through that son, because Abraham believed in God, now look at the verse, verse 6 again. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. I want to draw your attention on that word, accounted. Accounted. It is a bookkeeping term. If you are an accountant, this is your field. It is a bookkeeping term. Meaning what? The word accounted there means imputed. different than infused by the Catholic Church. We don't believe in that. But it has been imputed. It has been reckoned. It has been credited. What does it mean? Abraham believed in God. And you and me, when we believe in God, oh, the library of our sins, the book of our sins, the mountain of our sins, that is removed. It falls down. And the sinner, because he trusted in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is given the righteousness of Christ. He is given the righteousness, the holy garment, and that holy and glorious garment is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, when you stand before God trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness is credited to you. And you stand before God as if you have never sinned. And your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. That is what Abraham came to believe so many years ago. And that was given to him and credited to him. And God writes off all our sins, our debts, and our offenses. My dear friends, take every name you want of a believer in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Micah, Josiah, Manasseh, Syntyche in the New Testament, Eudias, Clement, Priscilla, every name, Paul, James, John, Matthew, Mark, and so on. All those people, Old Testament, New Testament, Abel, Enoch, Noah, all of them, Samson, Jephthah, Gideon, all the heroes of faith, they are all saved in the same way and through the same channel. The same way and through the same channel. So that is reassuring for us. It is reassuring for us. The same way, through the same channel. The cross of Calvary. My dear friends, Abraham was given the sight of faith, not to see a barren land. You hear people, I'm going to the Holy Land. There is no Holy Land here. It is a polluted land. That's how we have to view. We are waiting, like Abraham, for a kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. We are waiting for a kingdom where righteousness dwelleth. We are told in Revelation chapter 21 that there is nothing that will defile that kingdom. So Abraham looked with the eyes of faith, not to a place, a barren land, just a piece of land somewhere in the Middle East. No, he was looking at a string of promises. He was looking at the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He was looking at a forest of promises given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, faith is essential. Faith is the sine qua non condition. Without it, nobody will please God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But remember, faith in itself has no merit. Faith in itself has no merit. But through faith, saving faith comes with repentance and with godly sorrow. Repentance asks and faith receives. That's the thing. Faith is the hand that receives only. Faith is the appropriating agent of God's mercy. That is what faith is all about. And you give thanks to the Lord for salvation. I wish I can say more on this verse 6, but so far you can see we are given the example of Abraham, a man of faith, and the righteousness of God was credited unto him because he believed, not in circumcision, not in good works, not in the law, but in the cross of Calvary. Second heading we have for us tonight. Who are the true children of Abraham? Who are they? Look at it in verse 7. Know ye, oh, that is very emphatic in the Greek text. It is in the present tense. You know right now. Galatians, you know. We believers today, Christians, you know. What do we know? It is here. Therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. My brothers and sisters, the Jews, the Arabs, some Moroccans, and even Africans. You meet even in the West, you meet some, there is a whole lobby in America. In almost in every continent, in every Western country, you have people claiming that they are descendants of Abraham. Eritreans, Ethiopians, people from Yemen, some of them are claiming that they are descendants of Abraham. But you see, the descendants of Abraham are not natural descendants. We are speaking about spiritual descendants of Abraham. I already anticipated of that by saying that the descendants of Abraham are not born of the flesh. They are not born by the will of man. They are not born by the power of a man. We read how to become a child of God in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It is by believing, by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives to that person the power to become a child of God. But the children of Abraham, we don't need to have any complex. The children of Abraham are those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the real children of Abraham. My dear friends, I don't want to detain you long, but may I give you the biblical definition of a Jew? What is a Jew according to the Bible? You don't have to invent it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, and I will show it to you. It is given to us there. What is a Jew? And that is the best definition you can find, verse 28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. You see that? The Jews, the Arabs, the Eritreans, the Ethiopians, some Moroccans and so on, claiming some Africans. We are the real Jews. We are the real chosen people. We must go back to Africa. No, there is no such thing. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about color. The real Jew is not the one who has it outward. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But verse 29, look at it, the real Jew. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. That is the new birth. We read in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Jeremiah, confirmed to us in Hebrews chapter 8, and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. The real Jew is the person who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have trusted in Christ, you are a Jew. Don't expect, of course, the nation of Israel today to give you a passport because you claim to be a Jew. But the kingdom of God, you have the passport of the kingdom of God because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, do you believe in Christ? Have you repented? Then you are a child of Abraham. I may take you just to Romans again. We were in Romans 2, but look at Romans chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. You will see another great statement there. Romans 9, verse 6 and 7. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel. We are told which are of Israel, though not everyone in Israel is a real Israelite. Galatians chapter 6, we are told that the church is the Israel of God. Are you a believer? Have you trusted in Christ? You are an Israelite according to the kingdom of God. And in verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, the natural seed, and they all children, but in Isaac, shall thy seed be called. You see, it is the spiritual Israel we are speaking about, not any natural birth. And you know, there is no missing link. In every generation, people were always saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, you remember at the blessing of the Pentecost, where did the Holy Spirit came? Did it come upon the temple? No, not at all. It came upon a small number of believers, 120 gathered together in the upper room. These were the people upon whom the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon. That is a good sign to remind the people that it was those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ who were the ones which were blessed. The Old Testament believers were looking forward. The New Testament believers are looking backward. We, with the Old Testament and New Testament saints, we are all looking unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. But there is an application before I come to the third step here. Here is the application. My dear friends, you remember we said faith is essential. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith must be tested. Faith must be tested. We live in a very sensitive world today. People don't want to be tested at all. But faith, in order to be trusted, must be tested. You remember in Genesis chapter 22, God asked Abraham to give him the son of promise, the son he asked, he gave him, waited for so many years. And Abraham obey the Lord no matter what the cost is. So you and me, our faith must be tested, and nothing in this world should be more precious to us than the Lord Jesus Christ. But I come to the third step. Look at in verse 8. The whole night, this is an amazing verse. It tells you and me, my dear friends, that we believe in the same God as Abraham. Abraham, God is our God. Abraham's Christ is our Christ. Abraham's gospel is our gospel. There is no another gospel. You know, some people, even looking at the four gospels, they say in every gospel there is a different way of being saved. No, not at all. Not at all. This is an insult to God. There is only one way from the beginning of the world. Even before the foundation of the world, it was already in God's mind. The fall of man, the salvation of man, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, his resurrection from the dead, justification by faith alone. All these things were already in God's mind from the beginning. So there is nothing man has invented in order to please God. But look at the verse here, verse 8. And the scripture says, thus said the scripture. It is said in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 22. All this is summed up for us in this passage. I have no time to take you to Psalm 138, verse 2. You know what it is said there? The word of God. God has put his word above all his attributes, above all his names. So when the word of God speaks, who speaks? God speaks. You see, the word of God is personified for us in this passage. Oh, my dear friends, what do we read here? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, unto your seed. This was not about Isaac. When you go back to Genesis chapter 13, chapter 12, verse 3, verse 7, this is not about Isaac, my dear friends. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Oh, may I tell you something? Something I feel it's really important and it's good to hear. The pre-incarnated Christ preached the gospel to Abraham. You remember how God said in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham is my friend. I will not hide to Abraham what I'm going to do. So like in a kind of friendly conversation while they were walking together, God was murmuring to Abraham, speaking, conversing with Abraham, telling Abraham, Genesis 17, Genesis 18, telling Abraham how through his seed, the seed, the Son of God, he's going to save the nations and bless the nations. He's going to redeem the Gentiles. When you read the word nations in the Bible, it is about you and me, the Gentiles. That was said
from the beginning. Abraham heard the gospel from the beginning. He heard it and he believed in it. So we, like Abraham, we hear the same gospel. We read the same gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, Abraham received wisdom from above to understand the picture of him, Abraham, offering his son Isaac. You know the difference? There was a substitute to Isaac. But to our Lord, when he was on the cross of Calvary, there was no substitute. The substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he took it all there. Instead of Abraham, there was instead of Isaac, there was a ram who was slaughtered, and Isaac was set free. The same, Christ died on the cross of Calvary to set you free. Christ saw the day of Christ. We read it in John chapter 8, verse 56. You know that verse by heart, I'm sure. We read that Christ said to the Jews who were so proud and so unbelieving, he said to them, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced. He rejoiced because Abraham heard the gospel. My dear friends, you can trace every religion in this world, but you cannot trace the gospel because it is everlasting. From eternity to eternity, the gospel was in God's mind. In the Garden of Eden, the gospel was preached. Abel heard the gospel. Enoch heard the gospel. Noah heard the gospel and preached the gospel. He was a preacher of righteousness. Abraham, to Abraham, the gospel was preached. And may I say this to you? Nobody in the world has ever been saved without believing in Christ, hearing the gospel, or receiving the Holy Spirit. I have no time left to show you the verses, but it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's all there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. These are all verses telling us, even in the Old Testament, Isaiah 63, Isaiah 65, Isaiah 66, all these chapters are telling us that the believers of the Old Testament have also received the Holy Spirit. I hope this is comforting to you. Our faith is not a second thought, a last-minute idea. It has always been there. And saved Jews and Gentiles are a part of the covenant of God. Abraham believed in Genesis 3:15. Abraham believed in the promises of God. Abraham believed in the gospel. Abraham believed in Christ Jesus. Abraham believed in eternity. Abraham believed in the power of God to make him a new person. That's why today, I'm sorry to remind you this again, a cross-less gospel, a Christ-less gospel is not the gospel at all. A grace-less gospel is not the gospel at all. This is man-made idea. Why? Because the gospel is eternal. The gospel is divine. The gospel is scriptural. The gospel is Christocentric. The gospel is for whosoever believe it. It's for all sinners who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior. There is only one gospel. And there is only one covenant of grace. I have a fourth element to put before you. It is here in verse 9. Look at the blessing. The blessing of the children of Abraham. The blessedness of the children of Abraham in verse 9. My time is over. I won't really dwell on this, but it is so important to remind ourselves that the blessings of Abraham are ours also. The message of the gospel is a blessing. Salvation always by faith alone is a blessing.
We have received that blessing. You don't need to wish to be in the time of Adam and Eve, or in Noah, or in Calvin's time, or in Abraham's time, or in the Puritan era. Some people, they speak like that. Oh, if only we were in New Testament times. No, I don't wish to be there, because 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we have been given, we have obtained like precious faith, like Abraham, like Noah, like Enoch, like James, like Paul. We are not under second rank citizens. We have been given the same faith. We have been given great and exceeding great promises, given to us precious promises, equal salvation, but also equal blessings given to us. And all of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the children of Abraham. My dear friends, the blessing is in the seed, that is Christ Jesus. They that continue in the faith are blessed, not by Abraham, but with Abraham. Believing in the cross of Calvary opens for you and me a boulevard of promises and blessings. All these things are for us. Oh, my dear friend, let me close. Like Abraham, yes, he didn't always get it right. He's a man. You are a man. I'm a man. Just a sinner. He didn't always get it right. But Abraham did not depend on anything physical in this world. His eyes, Hebrews 11, by faith, everything he did was to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So like him, we are called to a life of pilgrimage. We are called to be a gospel blessing to others. Abraham was a witness. We are also witnesses. And we are not just saved for our own benefit. We have been given a great commission to preach the gospel to other people. Separated from the world, we proclaim the gospel to the world. Oh, my dear friends, God's calling and his attention and intention for us is always for his church to save, to preach the gospel to sinners. You are not only saved like Abraham, but we are also blessed, exactly blessed like Abraham in every generation, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Oh, may the Lord bless these things in our souls.